It was 2010 where I stood by a hospital bed ng isang mama na humihiyaw dahil sa excruciating pain ang kanyang nararamdaman sa kanyang katawan. As I am pastor in the Philippines, I've seen many of our members suffer physical illnesses and diseases. But the most memorable and heartbreaking of them all is seeing this man suffer. No pain relievers were strong enough to calm him down, and no human comfort sufficed. His pain was caused by a fourth stage cancer called multiple myeloma. And after a few months of enduring severe pain, this man passed away. I mentioned that it was the most memorable and heartbreaking of them all because this man was my father. And 2 years after that the Lord took him home, my mother also passed away due to cancer. We live in a world where suffering, pain, tragedy, and afflictions abound. May mga natural disasters, accidents, sickness that causes deterioration ng ating katawan. There's death, oppression, betrayal in relationships, loss of jobs, loneliness, ongoing marital strifes, sibling rivalry, rebellious children, a pandemic. At during times ng suffering, may tendency po tayo na ma-black out, mag-panic, at hindi alam ang ating gagawin. And during these times, we desperately need wisdom. Job has an important wisdom that we need. Wisdom for people like us who are suffering or will suffer. Job is wisdom for us sa panahon natin ngayon because it speaks realistically about our suffering. It exposes the limitation of our understanding and compels us of our need to trust a sovereign God. Ngayong hapon na ito, we start our 5-week sermon series in the book of Job, and we have entitled it Suffering and the Sovereignty of God. The book of Job is about trials and difficulties and how God ordained it to happen, a reality that is very difficult to comprehend. Kaunti lamang ang nalalaman natin patungkol sa Old Testament book na ito due to its limited information. The author of this book is unknown. Some suggest that it could be Job himself. Some say it's Elihu or si Solomon or some would say si Jeremiah. But some say na si Moses daw to kasi ang land of Uz ay katabi lang po ng Midian na kung saan si Moses ay nakatira for the past 40 years at baka nagkaroon daw ng pagkakataon na nakapag-usap si Elihu at si Moses at si Job. The book of Job is a wisdom book kagaya ng Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. Ang book of Job ay walang connection sa history ng nation ng Israel, nor wala po itong dinagdag na panibagong law kagaya ng first 5 books, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Kaya siguro madalas natin ito basahin dahil hindi kinakailangan ng maraming impormasyon patungkol sa history ng Israel and God's dealing with His people upang maunawaan ito. Although suffering is highlighted sa book na ito, hindi ito ang central theme. Rather, the focus is on what Job learns from his suffering, that God is sovereign over all creation. The first 5 verses ng chapter 1 introduce to us kung sino si Job, his personality, his prosperity, his piety. This helps us understand why Job responded the way he responded sa mga trials na mangyayari sa kanyang buhay as we study moving forward sa coming weeks. So yung point po natin or main point natin ngayong hapon na ito is this. Do not worship the blessings but the blesser. He is worthy of praise. Do not worship the blessings, but the blesser. He is worthy of praise. We have divided itong five verses na ito sa chapter 1 in Job into 3 points. Number 1, Job was a righteous man. Number 2, Job was a rich man. And number 3, Job was a religious man. Number 1, Job was a righteous man. Look at verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. Now, intupo muna tayo doon. Ang land of Uz ay walang katiyakan kung saan talaga matatagpuan po ito. It was suggested na ito daw ay nasa area ng Edom na kung saan nasa east side ng promised land, which is nabanggit po ito sa Lamentations chapter 4, verse 21. Dahil sa limitadong impormasyon na meron tayo patungkol sa lugar, maaari ang sinasabi ng manunulat na hindi daw mahalaga kung saan matatagpuan yung Uz, bagamat kailangan ang mas mahalaga raw dito ay kung sino ang matatagpuan sa land ng Uz, which is si Job. Okay? Since Uz is not located in Israel, we're not sure kung ano talaga yung lahi ni Job. Maaring hindi po siya, hindi po siya isang Hebrew. Ang kanyang kwento ay walang koneksyon sa mga known events na nangyayari sa life ng Israel. Some suggest na baka kakontemporary niya si Abraham or si Isaac or si Jacob. So, hindi po natin talaga alam. Maraming teorya na lumalabas patungkol sa kahulugan ng kanyang pangalan, ngunit walang convincing evidences o mga claims ang mga ito ayon sa mga scholars. Bagamat malinaw, ang malinaw lang po sa mga verses na to ay yung pagkatao ni Job. At I think yun po ang importante na kailangan po natin malaman at aralin. Look at verse 1. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There are four things that describe Job for us sa verse 1 na gusto po natin aralin. First of all, nabanggit po dyan sa verse 1, he was blameless. Ang malapit po na translation dito ay perfect or without moral blemish. Pero hindi po ito nangangahulugan na hindi nagkakasala. Okay? Because he confessed that he was a sinful man. Kung babasahin niyo sa chapter 13 verse 26 at chapter 14 verse 16. Blameless means genuineness and authenticity. Parang yung kasabihan na sa English na what you see is what you get. Yun po si Job. Kung ano madinig mo kay Job, kung anong makita kay Job, yun na po talaga yun. Walang pagkukunwari, walang kahipokritohan. Consistent ang kanyang sinasabi at ang kanyang ginagawa. Okay? Kung anong nakikita natin sa kanya is an accurate reflection ng kanyang puso. His public and private devotion are consistent. Pag sinabi hong blameless, it does not mean sinless perfection, but personal integrity. Kabaligtaran po ito ng kahipokritohan. He is blameless that even God himself mentioned it kay Satan. Which is aaralin po natin yun sa chapter 1 verse 8 at sa chapter 2 verse 3. Ito ang sinabi ng Panginoon sa Diablo. Have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless man. Hindi lamang po siya blameless, he is also upright. Siya ay tapat sa Diyos at tapat sa tao. He is a good neighbor. Ayon nga sa chapter 31, wala siyang nilokong kahit sinong tao sa kanyang dealings. Hindi niya pinagnasanan kahit kaninong asawa. Hindi niya minaltrato ang kanyang mga tauhan. At bakit na lang ganon ang pag-uugali ng mamang ito? It's because it's the third reason or third description ni Job. Because he feared God. He feared God. Hindi natin alam kung hanggang saan ang kanyang kaalaman patungkol sa Diyos ng kanyang kinakatakutan. Hindi natin alam. Bagamat ginagalang at pinaparangalan niya ang Diyos na lumikha ng buong daigdig. And as the book develops, makikita natin na kinikilala ni Job mismo ang Diyos na ito ay isang Diyos na sovereign and just. The point here is this. He fears God. He humbles himself before God and has deep desires to worship God with all he knew about him. Just a side application, friends. I know many of us have deep desires to know more about God, and that is a good thing, and we should continue learning more about God. But friends, do you know that you know more than Job did. So ano po ang point ko rito? But friends, what are you doing with all the knowledge that you have about God? All the knowledge that we have acquired about God is useless if it does not translate to worshiping Him in our hearts and in our lives. The reason why we want to know God more is for us to worship Him more. Job is a worshiper. Job worships God with all he knew about Him because he feared Him. Sabi nga sa Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, mahalaga po na maunawaan natin na si Job ay may takot sa Diyos. Kasi maunawaan lalo natin ito bago siya kumarap sa mga pagsubok na kanyang haharapin at kung bakit ganun ang kanyang inasal sa mga pagkakataon na ito. So Job feared God. Job also turns away from sin. He turns away from sin. Job saw sin for what it was and he fought to resist sin. Hindi po nangangahulugan na siya po ay hindi nahuhulog sa kasalanan. Alam ko nagkakamali siya at nahuhulog din sa kasalanan. But I also believe that kapag dumating yung point na siya ay nahulog sa kasalanan, he mourns over it. He hates it. He resists it. He fights it. He turns away from it. Ayon po kay Christopher Ashe, na kung saan ang author ng libro na The Wisdom of the Cross, it's a commentary patungkol ho sa Book of Job. He says, to turn away from sin is to repent. Job's character was marked by daily repentance, a habitual turning away from evil in his thoughts, words, and his deeds. Ganito po ang description ng mamang ito. Friends, this is a mark of a true believer. Job presented to us not as a perfect man, but a genuine believer. Sa Ezekiel chapter 14:14, at sa verse 20, si Job ay nabibilang kasama ni Noah at ni Daniel. Saan siya nabibilang? Bilang isa sa mga righteous men of God. At ang klaseng righteousness ang meron ng mga mamang ito? A righteousness by faith. A righteousness by faith. Noah, Daniel, and Job were declared righteous by God through faith. They were righteous by faith. Hindi dahil sa kanilang mga ginawa. Hindi dahil sa kanilang mga abilidad. No sinner has ever been righteous with God in any other way. Job was a man who has saving faith. Friends, this is what saving faith looks like, where God, by His grace, opens our eyes that enables us to see our sins, to turn away from it, hate it, run away from it, and turn to God for forgiveness and salvation. We turn to God in faith. We've just finished a 4-month sermon series in the book of Galatians, and we have learned that a person is declared righteous, that a person is justified, na isang tao ay napawalang sala by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. No sinner has ever been made right with God in any other way but by trusting in God's grace and provision that is ultimately found in Jesus Christ alone. Whether ito is the Old Testament as they look forward to the coming Messiah or the New Testament as they look back on what Christ did, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Throughout this book, we will see that the Lord is worshipped by Job. That Job worships the true living God. Worshiping God transformed Job's life. Everything he does is done in light of that. Job was a righteous man. Hindi lamang si Job righteous ang pagkakadescribe sa kanya sa chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, but also he's described as a rich man. Job was a rich man. So verses 2 to 4, dito makikita natin ang yaman ni Job. He was truly blessed in many areas, and we can mention two at least. One, he was blessed with many children. With children. Do you know verse 2? They were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Si Job ay pinagpala ng 10 anak. At pag gano karami yung anak, blessed ka sa Bible. Sabi sa Psalm 127, verse 3, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward." Meron si Job 7 anak na lalaki. Malaking blessing ito, lalo na sa ekonomiya na tending herds, flocks, and farming ang pangkabuhayan ng mga mamamayan. Having 7 sons are always celebrated and used as positive analogies sa Bible lagi. Kagaya ng sa Ruth chapter 4 verse 15, yung inaral natin a few months ago, na kung saan si Naomi was described as being more to you than 7 sons. Dahil pinagpala siya kay Ruth at ganun din ang pagkakabanggit sa 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 5. Tapos meron pang 3 anak na babae, which is a total of 10. Which that tells us that this is an ideal family nung time nila. Now, I'm not big with Bible numbers, pero what I've learned and heard na yung numbers daw na 3, 7, at saka 10 corresponds as the numbers of completion or perfection. So Job has 3 daughters, 7 sons, and a total of 10 children. This is a picture of an ideal number, but it is not the number that was blessed, that blessed him, but on how they love each other. Tignan po ninyo sa verse 4. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. And they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. Now, hindi ito yung inaakala ng karamihan na yung situation sa verse 4 ay para nagkakaroon ng wild party yung magkakapatid na kung saan nagpapakalasing ang bawat isa at kung ano-anong kaimoralidad ang ginagawa nila sa party na yon. Ang expression na hold a feast in the house of each one on his day probably means one's birthday or a picture of a special family gathering. Hindi natin sure kung ito ay every day or every month or quarterly or annually. We're not really sure. But this gives us a picture of a regular family gathering. It is a family get-together na kung saan nag-gather sila, may kanya-kanya silang dalang pagkain o nagluluto doon, nagkikwentuhan, nagkakamustahan, nag-aasara, nagkukulita, nagtatawanan. Yung tipong ganun ba pag magkakasama yung family? We can presumably say na ang 3 niyang anak na babae ay single pa kasi wala man nabanggit dito na kasama nila yung kanilang mga asawa na lalaki. So we can probably also assume or safe to assume na si Job is in his early 40s. So hindi po ito totoo yung napapanood natin sa mga movies o yung nakikita natin sa Google pag sinerch natin Job na kung saan parang isang matandang uugot-ugot na napakahina. Hindi po. He was in his prime. He was strong. He was godly. He was a family man. But not only that, he is also blessed with earthly riches. Napakadami pong kayamanan ng mamang ito. Look at move back to verse 3. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Noong time na yun po yun, hindi ho pera sa bangko ang basehan ng maraming pera. Ang basehan po rito is gano'ng karami ang iyong ari-arian, gano'ng karami ang iyong mga halagang hayop, at doon po ang basehan kung ikaw talaga ay isang tunay na mayaman. And sa case na ito, mayaman na mayaman si Job. Maganda ang kanyang pinagkakitaan. He's not just a farmer but also a herdsman. Isa siyang negosyante. Maari din na napakarami at sari-sari ng kanyang pananim that this is evident sa dami ng kanyang mga alagang hayop. Now, there's something that we need to understand. Hindi lamang ginagamit ang mga hayop na mga alagang hayop na ito bilang pang-aararo sa bukirin. ginagamit bilang pagkain o kuhanan ng gatas. But these beasts of burdens are also used to transport ang kanilang mga naaning pananim upang ibenta sa palengke. At napakadami nun, isipin po ninyo. At kung gaano karami ang kanyang alagang hayop at pananim, ganoon na din kadami ang kanyang tauhan or hired staff. Napakadami po. At makikita nyo po sa Job chapter 31. Hindi lamang po yun, Job also owns a lot of houses. As a matter of fact, binigyan niya na tag-iisa ang kanyang mga anak. Hindi lamang yun, he was also a local dignitary, parang city official, and was prominent in the gate of the city. Yun po ang tawag doon. Where local businesses was done. In addition to that, kilalang kilala po siya lahat ng tao sa east side ng Promised Land. So he's rich, he's famous, he is a man of prominence. Job was godly, wealthy, healthy, and has a loving family. So panahon po natin ngayon, maaaring may mga preachers ginagamit itong situation ni Job bilang model kung paano pagpalain ng Diyos. Kailangan po natin mag-ingat sa mga mangaral na yun. Na kung saan ang sinasabi nila, God blesses those who are faithful sa Kanya. If you are faithful with God, He will give you good health, abundant wealth, and prosperity. Kung susundin mo lang ang lahat ng ginawa ni Job, God will bless you kapareho ng pagka-bless niya kay Job. Kung ikaw magbibigay ng ganitong halaga, kung ikaw mag-donate ng ganitong amount, pagpapalain ka ng Panginoon. Mga kaibigan, mag-ingat po tayo sa mga ganong klaseng mga ngaral. Okay? Kasi mga kaibigan, kung madalas po tayo nakikinig at naniniwala sa mga ganitong klaseng katuruan, we must be warned. Kasi bakit? Kasi itong theology na ito, unang-una, hindi totoo. And second, it will shatter. There are two reasons kung bakit ito mali. Unang-una, kung nakaangkla ang iyong seguridad, kasiyahan at pag-asa sa mga material na yaman, prominenting posisyon, pisikal na kalusugan at relationships, kung doon nakaangkla ang iyong pag-asa, seguridad at kapayapaan, then hindi ka matatahimik. You will be disappointed. Bakit ka mo? Kasi lahat ng mga bagay na yan ay nawawala, nananakaw, nabubulok, namamatay. O kusang iiwan tayo. At kapag nandun nakaangkla ating pag-asa at nawala yung mga bagay na yon, and then nawala din, kung ganun po, eh, mawawala rin yung ating pag-asa. Mawawala rin ang ating seguridad at ating kapayapaan. Ikalawa, my second point is even is a question. Kung ganun ang case, kung ganun po yung case na kung saan sinunod mo lahat ng ito ay kayo pagpapalain ng Panginoon, ang tanong ko is this. Ang dahilan lang ba kung bakit gusto natin bigyan ng kaluguran ng Diyos? Ang dahilan ba kung bakit gusto natin sundin ang Diyos ay dahil po sa makukuha natin sa Kanya? Yun lang ba talaga ang dahilan kung bakit tayo tapat, bakit tayo sumasamba, bakit tayo sumusunod? Dahil may mga bagay na gusto tayong makuha sa Panginoon o panatiliin kung ano yung meron tayo na galing sa Panginoon? Hindi ba ito ang hamon na binato ni Satanas sa Diyos? Which is aralin po natin next week. Pero let me read it to you sa Job 1:9-11 sa magandang balita Biblia. Sabi ni Satanas, sasambahin pa kaya kayo ni Job kung wala na siyang nakukuha mula sa iyo? Inalagaan niyo siya, ang kanyang mga pamilya at lahat ng ari-arian niya. Pinagpapalan niyo ang lahat ng kanyang gawin. At halos punuin ninyo ang kanyang kayamanan ng buong lupain. Subukan ninyong alisin ang lahat-lahat sa buhay niya at harap-harapan niya kayong susumpain. Again, next week, we will look at this with more details. But it is good to know that Job's prosperity did not consume his heart. Because God is the one who is center sa kanyang puso. Kasi alam niya na lahat ng mga bagay na ito, lahat ng mga bagay sa mundo, ay walang kabuluhan. Job was a rich man, but he was chiefly rich towards God. He was a righteous man. He was a rich man. And number three and last, he was a religious man. Sa panahon natin ngayon, medyo negative yung pag narinig yung salitang religious. And I don't blame them because people have a tendency to push restrictions and rules and nandiyan din yung judgmentalism. Ngunit ang tunay na religion guards the relationship a person has with God. Yung po tunay na religion. Religion guarded the relationship Job had with God. Tingnan po niyo muli ang verse 5. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Pagkatapos ng mga birthday parties or family gatherings na naganap sa mga kung ano man ang nakaschedule na bahay ng kanilang anak, ito po ang ginagawa po ni Job. Before sabihin ko ano yung ginagawa ni Job, may isang bagay na bumabagabag sa puso ni Job every time after may party. At yun po ay yung spiritual na kalagay ng kanyang mga anak. He's so concerned sa kanilang spiritual state. Hindi niya alam kung nagkakasala na sila sa kanilang pagdiriwang. This shows us how Job is deeply concerned about their souls. So anong ginagawa ni Job every time pagkatapos ng kanilang party? Ito po ginagawa ni Job. Pinapatawag niya ang kanyang mga anak for religious ceremony to offer burnt offerings on their behalf. So Job here, in one sense, is a family priest. Bago pa even lumabas ang Aaronic priesthood, Job mediated for his children. Notice also na ginawa niya ito early in the morning. So ano po ibig sabihin niyan? Ibig sabihin po, there is a sense of eagerness and zealousness and urgency. There's a sense of urgency na kailangan niyang gawin ito. Then why? Bakit kailangan niya magsunog pa ng mga offering or magkaroon ng burnt offerings? To further give us an explanation, again, I'd like to quote Christopher Ashe as he comments on this. Sabi niya, "Later in the history of Israel, a burnt offering would be the most expensive form of sacrifice in which the whole sacrificial animal is consumed. It pictures the hot anger of God burning up the animal in the place of the worshiper, whose sins would have made them liable to be burned up in the presence of God." We can imagine Job doing this for them at one time. This one is for you, and he lights the fire, and the animal is consumed. And the son or daughter watches the holocaust and thinks, "This what would happen to me if there had not been a sacrifice." And then the next one, "This one is for you," and so until all the children were covered by sacrifice. Bakit ganun na lang kaseryoso si Job sa pag-offer ng sacrifices sa bawat isa sa kanyang mga anak? Well, ang kasagutan po dyan is nasa towards the end of verse 5. Tingnan po natin. "It may be, according kay Job, that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Maaari sa panlabas ang kanyang mga anak ay religious. Maaari sa panlabas, ang mga anak nila ay walang kapintasan, matuwid sa harapan ng tao. Maaring hindi nila sinusumpa ang Diyos. Maaring sila ay model children ng isang Christian. Maaring sila ay tuwid. Ngunit, alam ni Job na ang puso ng tao ay makasalanan. Ngunit, sa kanilang puso, maaaring kinamumunghian nila ang Diyos. Again, I quote Christopher Ashe. "He knows that to curse God in the heart, to wish God dead, is to wish God dead, as it were, is a terrible, serious offense, an offense that carries the eternal death penalty if it is not atoned for. But Job believes in the atoning power of sacrifice, and so he offers burnt offering." Job offers burnt offerings to atone the sins of his children. Friends, does this remind you of something? This reminds us na kahit tayo ay matuwid sa harapan ng tao, na kahit tayo ay relyoso, na kahit tayo ay walang kapintasan, ang puso natin ay punong-puno ng kasalanan. Ayon sa Matthew chapter 7 verses 21 to 23, "For from within, out of our heart of man, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person." Friends, ito po yung laman ng puso ng bawat tao na walang Diyos. Friends, our hearts are not blameless sa harapan ng Diyos. We are not authentic sa harapan ng tao at Diyos. We are synthetic. We are a bunch of hypocrites. We are not upright people. We are not loyal to God nor to others. We are only loyal to ourselves. Loyal to our desires, our causes, our wants. It's all about us. And if anyone gets in our way, we run them over kahit yung Diyos na mismo humaharang nun. We do not fear God. We don't desire Him. We despise Him. We rebel against Him. And like the offering that was consumed by the fire, ito po ang tingin sa atin ng Panginoon. God's anger burns towards sinners. Job may be a righteous man, but he is not a sinless man. However, he does foreshadow, points to the truly righteous man, the truly perfect man. He points to the God-man, Jesus Christ. Like a priest, Job sent for his sons and daughters and offered sacrifices for each of them for the atonement of their sins every time they party. But God the Father sent His only begotten Son. So, since His only begotten Son, Jesus, who willingly offered Himself as the sacrifice to atone the sins of God's people once and for all. He was nailed on the cross, bearing our sin and shame. And on that cross, He was consumed by the fiery wrath of God so that those who are guilty can be forgiven. So that those who are guilty can be accepted. So that those who are guilty of sin may be right with God. Jesus is the perfect burnt offering for sins. And on that cross He died and was buried. And on the third day rose from the dead, which means God the Father accepted His sacrifice, defeating sin, death, and Satan. And now Jesus had risen from the dead, ascended to heaven, and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father as our high priest, interceding for us. Friends, I urge you to repent from your sins and trust Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus Christ at kung ano yung ginawa niya sa cross para sa kapatawaran mo sa iyong kasalanan. Nakita natin kung gaano kamahal ni Job bilang ama ang kanyang mga anak. That He was so concerned about their souls and so He desires for their salvation. There is no greater thing than a father to help his children learn about God, the one who made them, the one who gave them life. Sabi nga sa Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26, "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have refuge." Ngayong oras ito, gusto ko sanang kausapin ang ating mga daddy, o magiging daddy, o who has taken a role na parang daddy sa kanyang anak o magiging anak o tinuturing mga anak. Gusto ko sana i-consider natin ang example ni Job, na despite sa kanyang kabisihan, despite sa kanyang kasikatan at sa kanyang yaman, ang kanyang primary focus sa harapan ng Diyos ay ang kanyang pamilya. Friends, as a husband or a father, there is no important provision for your family than to serve as a priest at your home, leading your wife, leading your children to savor and see the beauty of Christ. Mga ama o kalalakihan na nais maging ama isang araw, ang spiritual prosperity ba ng iyong anak o magiging anak ang iyong prioridad? Pastor, paano namin gagawin ito? Okay, gets namin. Anong gagawin namin ngayon? Well, sa totoo po niyan, walang magic trick po yan. Walang hocus-pocus yan. Ano, walang special program pa na all of a sudden, boom, ako ay isang responsableng ama na nag-lead ng kanyang mga anak sa Diyos. Wala po. Well, the first thing you need to focus on is yung oras mo. Maging intentional po tayo sa pagtuon ng oras natin sa mga anak. Kagaya ng ginawa ni Job sa last part ng verse 5. Job said, Thus Job did continually. Job was consistent. Consistent ushering his children to God. At ganoon din tayo mga kaibigan. Be consistent sa time ninyo mag-pray together ng iyong anak. Be consistent po sa pagbasa together with your children. Be consistent po to regularly have conversations with God together. Fathers, husbands, tayo po ang manguna in reconciling with our wives. Fathers, let your children witness kung paano ka magpapakumbaba sa harapan ng kanyang nanay. Ipakita mo sa kanya kung paanong humingi ng tawad. Ngayong oras ito, nais ko rin kausapin ang mga children. Children, let me talk to you for a moment. Just because you have a godly father, a godly mother, a godly lolo o lola, a godly tito or tita, does not make you right with God. Does not make you a Christian. The only way for you to make it right with God is to stop believing that your good deeds will save you, and start believing in Christ's finished work on the cross as the only way for you to be right with God. This demands personal repentance of sin and personal trust in Christ's finished work on the cross. Friends, how do we respond to God when things are going well? Because this is how I want to end this sermon, by asking two questions. And the first question is, how do we respond to God when things are going well? Well, the answer is, we respond by worshiping God. He is worthy of worship. Job is a worshiper. Job worshiped God sa panahon ng kapayapaan, sa panahon ng kasaganahan. He worshiped God sa panahon ng magandang kalusugan. Mga kaibigan, how are you responding sa panahon ng kasaganahang ito? Mga kaibigan, kaya ko tinatanong to kasi madali pong makalimot sa Diyos kapag nasa panahon tayo ng kasaganahan at kapayapaan. Kapag ang kalusugan ng pamilya ay maganda, kapag may punong-puno yung pera, yung bank accounts natin. When relationships are going well, kapag maraming pagkain sa ref. We have a tendency na makalimot sa Panginoon. And let me give you a brotherly warning right now. It is easy for abundance to overlook the source of which every good and perfect gift comes from. So, sinasabi mo, Pastor, huwag namin enjoyin yung mga blessing na ito na, na pinaghirapan namin, na galing sa Panginoon. So, hindi namin doon. I'm not saying that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, enjoy it. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. Mga kaibigan, sa panahon ng kasaganaan, sa panahon ng kapayapaan, sa panahon ng katahimikan, sa panahon na magkakasama kayo, enjoyin nyo po. Enjoyin nyo lang. Enjoyin nyo yung time na kung saan you are working from home. Enjoy nyo yung time na hindi ka nagko-commute, na hindi ka naghahanda ng mamalansya, naglalaban ng mga pang-suot mo sa opisina, na hindi mo kailangan maghanda ng maaga para magluto ka ng bamo. Enjoy nyo po yung time na yan. Enjoy po yung time with home, kasama ng mga anak at asawa. Enjoy nyo lang po yung masaganang oras na ito. Enjoy nyo lang po ang pagkain na inimbak ninyo sa roof. Enjoy nyo po yung tulog. Minsan, kung kailan nagtatrabaho tayo sa bahay, doon naman tayo walang tulog. Friends, huwag kayo mag-guilty, matulog. Huwag kayo mag-guilty, manood ng TV. Huwag kayo mag-guilty, mag-relax. This is that season. Rest, enjoy. Enjoy good health. Enjoy relationships. Enjoy the fruit of your years of labor. Enjoy. Enjoy. That's a blessing galing sa Panginoon. But let me warn you again. As you enjoy these things, guard your heart. At baka makalimot tayo kung kanino galing ang abundance na ito. Listen, if we do not worship God when things are going well, we will worship the blessings. We will trust the blessings, and it becomes an idol sa atin. It will become the object of our pleasure, and this will enslave you. This will destroy you. Friends, do not worship the blessings. Worship the blesser. Do not trust the blessings. Trust the blesser. Worship God when things are going well. Gayon din dapat sa panahon ng kaginhawaan, hindi lamang dapat natin ini-enjoy yung mga blessings na ito and we worship the blesser, but also gamitin natin itong panahon na ito in order for us to deepen yung roots of faith natin sa Panginoon. And when para magpalakas spiritually sa pagdating po ng strong winds of trial na bubuga sa atin, we have deep enough roots to keep us steady, to keep us calm. Ayon kay J.C. Ryle, isang Anglican bishop sa Liverpool noong 1800s, sabi niya, I want people to fill their minds with passages of scripture while they are well and strong, that they may have sure help in the day of need. I want them to be diligent in studying their Bibles and be familiar with its contents in order that the grand old book will stand by them, talk with them, when all earthly friends fail. Friends, sa panahon ng kapayapaan, sa panahon po ng kasaganaan, I urge you, ito na po yung time that we would continue reading, read scripture, meditate on the Bible, memorize Bible verses. And ito na po yung time na kung saan we should spend more time praying. Habang po panahon ng katahimikan, before dumating po yung mga challenges and trials in life, this is the time to prepare. Second and last question, are you willing to lose everything if it meant that you are to get more of God? Are you willing to lose everything if it meant that you are to get more of God? Next week po, ito po yung masasaksihan po natin kay Job. Because next week, we will study, we will see that Job lost everything. Everything. Pero anong nakamit ni Job upon losing everything, Pastor? Well, ang sagot dyan ay nasa huling part ng book ng Book of Job, which is chapter 42, verse 5. Ito pong nakamit ni Job. I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Job went from hearing about God to seeing God through the lenses of suffering. He saw God more deeply. And as we go through this book, friends, my prayer is that when we come to a point that we have lost everything, when we come to a point that nothing is left, that this is my prayer, that we would find rest in knowing when we have God, we have everything. So friends, let us be reminded during the season of peace, prosperity, and rest that we should not worship the blessing. Do not worship the blessings. Worship the blesser. He deserves our praise. Let us pray. Panginoon, tulungan mo kaming maging mananampalataya na buo ang pagtitiwala sa inyo. Kung kami po ay nasa panahon ng katahimikan, panahon ng kapayapaan, kasaganaan, Panginoon, tulungan niyo po kami not to trust on these blessings, but to deepen our trust to the blesser, na kung saan kayo po yon. Help us to rest in you by faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.